Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Another parable today from Jesus to the Pharisees. Last week he had the parable of the wicked tenants, sort of catching the Pharisees in their own hypocrisy and their own misunderstandings and their own evil plots. And they are upset at that first parable. Actually, it's the second parable, and then this was the third parable. And so they're plotting on how to take care of Jesus, because he's getting to be a problem. And now he's getting personal, as he's coming pretty directly at the Pharisees. He's not really trying to veil it too much, even in the images he uses, it's getting more and more personal. And this one in particular seals the deal for Jesus and the Pharisees. It's a kingdom of heaven parable. We've talked about kingdom of heaven parables all through Pentecost, as Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew uses a lot of kingdom of heaven parables. Remember, it's the reign and rule of Christ, or the reign and rule of God in Christ through the Holy Spirit. It's how God works in the world. And here today, it's a kingdom of heaven parable, and it's a tough one. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. So the setting is pretty normal, pretty expected, something that wouldn't come out of the ordinary. He's not doing a kingdom parable about, you know, some far-off city or something like that. It's a pretty well-known thing that weddings happen. And the wedding feast is a prolonged event. It's not just the wedding day and then a reception after. A wedding feast is sometimes a week-long event, where it starts at the beginning after the Sabbath and then progresses all the way to the next Sabbath. And it's this, we know Jesus joined the wedding feast in Cana at Galilee, and they drank a whole lot of wine. And if that had been done in one night, that would have been disastrous. So it's a prolonged event. And so the king has taken a lot of time to prepare this event for his son, who is finally getting married, fulfilling one of those things that the prince is known to have to do. The king is excited about this celebration, and he sends out his servants to call those who are invited to come to the feast. It's ready. The time is now. The feast is prepared. Everything's ready. They had known that this was coming. See, that's the kind of thing with these wedding feasts that are weeks long. It's not something that you just get an invitation to and then RSVP. It's not that immediate. It's they've known for a long time that this feast was coming, and they knew they would be invited because they are the leaders in the community. They're the leaders in agriculture, the leaders in business. They're the higher-ups. They are, of course, going to be invited to the wedding feast of the king. They knew this. They expected this. They had been waiting for this, as anybody would. It's an exciting thing. But things take a weird turn in this parable, because the king sends out his servants and to invite the people, but they don't come. So this first wave of servants goes out, and the people don't respond. What do you mean? This is the king inviting you to a feast that he has prepared, and it's this thing. Why would you not? Well, they don't want to. They don't even give an answer in that first sending of the servants. This just says that they would not come. They don't give an answer. They ignore them. Imagine the slap in the face to the king that would be. That you would simply ignore the invitation that you knew was coming, that you had been expecting, that maybe you were waiting for excitedly, but no, I don't think so. We're not going to go. I don't even have an excuse. I just don't want to. But the king isn't deterred. He sends out more servants. The next wave of servants goes out. entreating people to come, imploring them to come, begging them almost to come to the feast. It's ready. And he even tells them, I've got the oxen is prepared. It's been roasted and it's sumptuous. And we have the fattened calves. And oh my gosh, this is a feast you can't even possibly imagine. But they paid no attention. They ignored the king's servants again. They were too busy. I got to go to my farm. I got to go to my business. Too busy. I got other important things. King's feast, I've heard it's overrated anyway. I don't really want to go. I got better things to do. If that weren't bad enough, there were others who grabbed his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed the servants of the king who has invited you to the feast? Now remember, Jesus is telling this to the Pharisees, who were those who were invited to the feast from the very beginning. The Pharisees had been the ones who had been invited to the king's feast since Abraham. They knew the king's feast was coming. They knew this was the occasion. They knew how important this is. And over the centuries, God had sent prophets. God had sent teachers. God had sent kings. God had sent all kinds of people to say, come on, the feast is ready. Come and be part. And how many times did they ignore the prophets, or worse yet, have them killed? Now, the king's response should have frightened the Pharisees. And maybe it did. Maybe the king's response in the parable sort of set in the back of their mind, this isn't good. We need to stop Jesus from talking about this because this isn't good. Because in the parable, the king was angry. And he sent his troops and destroyed the murderers and burned their city. Now, if the Pharisees had heard this as pertaining to them, now this is a threat that the king, God, the one who prepares the feast, is going to do something to them. They're in jeopardy. They're afraid. This can't be good. Then finally, the king, once again, not being set off of having this feast. He didn't say, well, the feast is canceled because those invited didn't come. I'm not having the feast at all. They ruined it. No, the king is not going to let those who don't come, those who ignore, and those who are angry, and those who rebel, he's not going to let them ruin the feast. He's not going to let those people ruin the feast. We're going to have it anyway. And it's going to be lively. Because the king sends servants out to the streets to collect anybody and everybody. People who weren't invited before. People who you would never invite to the feast anyway. All manner of people, it says, good and bad. Good and bad. All kinds of people come to the feast. The good ones and the bad ones. We'll talk about that in just a second, but we want to know that the king's feast is going to be full. This wedding feast, this feast of victory for our God, this lamb's feast in the kingdom, which has no end, is going to be full. No matter what, it's going to be a full feast. And there's going to be all sorts of people in this place. So let's talk about the good and the bad. Because we wouldn't think the bad people would be in there, right? We know the bad people. We talked about the bad people before. You know those people. Now remember what I always say about those people. Who are those people? We're those people. Don't think those people are any different than these people, right? No, we're all those people. The good and the bad. So in Jesus' terms, as he's speaking this parable to the Pharisees in their hearing, who are the good and the bad that are going to be there? Well, the good, obviously, the righteous ones, the ones who do all of the right things and follow the law and do, right? They're going to, right? No? Not them? Who are the good ones? Well, let's turn to Matthew 5. The good ones, blessed are the poor in spirit. They're the good ones. Those who are poor in spirit, who know their need for God, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Does that sound familiar? The kingdom of heaven may be compared to the wedding feast. Who are those who get the kingdom of heaven? But the poor in spirit. The good ones. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Who are the good ones? They're the good ones. The poor in spirit, the hungry, the thirsty, the meek, the weak, the smallest. They're the good ones. Well, then, who are the bad? Well, who would have been the bad in those days? Who are the ones that Jesus got attacked for hanging out with? Oh, those prostitutes and sinners and tax collectors, those are the bad ones. Those people. The sick, the deaf, the lame, the blind, the dead, those are the bad ones. And yet, who did Jesus come for? But the sick, the lame, the deaf, the blind, the poor. The wedding feast is going to be full of the good and the bad, full of you and me. But there's one guy. You know, you've been to weddings. You know the one guy. Cindy and I had our wedding reception at a golf course. And they had an outdoor tent. It was great. It was really hot. Oh, it was miserable hot. But there's this one guy. He wasn't invited. He came in off the golf course after having spent all day on the golf course. In the heat, with the beer cart going round and round. And he came into the wedding. He came into the reception. I want to see the bride, he said. I just want to congratulate her. All right, you can do that, but then off you go. We know that guy. Here's that guy. The king comes and he sees his wedding feast full and he looks around and he, man, this is a beautiful thing. But wait, how'd that guy get in here? So he goes over to him. And here is the compassion of God, right? The compassion of God is right here, right in our face as he looks at this guy who's wearing the tuxedo t-shirt rather than the tuxedo. And he says, Friend, not hey you, not just attack. Friend, how did you get in here? I'd like to know. Maybe you couldn't afford the wedding garment or you thought you couldn't. Maybe you came with a friend who you just weren't sure about. Maybe there's a reason that you're here that we don't know about. Friend, how did you get in here? I'd love it if you could stay, friend. But the guy doesn't have anything to say. He's got no excuse. He's got no reason. He's got no words. So out he goes. You said your congratulations to the bride, but you don't get to stick around for the meal. Many are called, but few are chosen. Look at how many were called at the beginning of this parable. How many were called, the ones who were the invited ones to the wedding feast? Centuries of people were called to this wedding feast. The Pharisees were called to this wedding feast. That's why Jesus was there. And yet, few are chosen. They don't get in. It's a tough parable because there is a whole lot of law, just like in the last parable, because Jesus is there to again entreat the Pharisees to one more chance. Before you do what I know you're going to do, you have one more chance. Come to the feast. Come to the feast. And they don't. But the gospel is there. The gospel is there in the words of the servants as they go out and they collect up everybody. The good and the bad. The you and the me. The them and the those. That Christ's invitation, the kingdom of heaven's invitation, isn't just for one small group. The invitation goes out to all of the roads, the highways, byways, hedges, however you want to say it. The invitation is there for everyone. And thank God it is. Thank God the invitation was there for me. The invitation was there for me, the one of those people. One of the scoundrels, the rascals, those of us who certainly don't rate a feast invitation from the king. And yet there it is. And if your appetite wasn't ready for this feast, the lamb in his kingdom, this feast that has no end, he says, I'll give you a taste, a foretaste of the feast to come. He says, it's here for you. For you to come and have a taste, a little bit, to get you ready for that feast to come that won't end. The feast of rich foods, of meat and wine that Isaiah talks about. It's there. It's coming. But right now we have this foretaste of the feast. The supper of Christ's body and blood given and shed for us. So that invitation can continue to go out to the highways and the roads, to these and those, to you and me. So come to the feast. Come to the table. It's all prepared. It's ready for you by the King. It's made for you by Christ Himself. Amen. And now may the peace that is ours in Christ guard our hearts and minds always in the one true faith to life everlasting. Amen. This morning we confess our faith.